Hi, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Staltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For those of you just joining us, we have been exploring individual Feijoa Joaquin's daughters one by one. There's over 700 of them, I think, and we're on number 46, so we've got a long way to go. And really and truly, I want to pay homage to these incredible women, and that's kind of how this program or this series sort of started, because I wanted to pay homage to my great-grandmothers. And all of the Feijoa that are in my tree, but then I kind of branched out, and now it's a series. If you have a Feijoa that I have not featured yet, which I'm sure, please let me know, and I will try to move her to the top of the line, and we will get to that. For those of you who are new, I do have a website, Have Roots, Will Travel, and I also have Twitter and Facebook. And any comments, anything you want to post, please email me at lisa@haveroutswilltravel or post the comment below. I'm glad to hear from all of you. And don't forget to subscribe and click on that notifications alert. All right, let's get started, shall we? Before we explore the individual Feijoa that we're going to look at today, let's make sure that you know about the video, the Feijoa, the program 2.0. This was the program started by Jean Tanneau in 1663. And I go into great depth in that particular video about the program that these girls would have embarked upon, what was given to them, all of that good stuff is part of that series. So have a look at that if you want to explore more in depth to what your ancestor would have gone through. The lady we're going to be looking at is, her name is Catherine Duchamp. And yes, she is a, she's actually a viewer who has requested this, and also my best friend, again. And this time, I get to do it for a work colleague who had no idea she had French-Canadian heritage. That's the thing. Sometimes, and many times, people do not know about their French-Canadian links. So this is for you as well. So let's get started and get to know Catherine. So Catherine was born in 1657 in the Saint-Benoît parish, which is found in the 5th arrondissement of Paris, France. Her parents were Jean Ducharme and Annie Lelièvre. The church no longer exists, but this is an illustration of what it actually looked like. It was situated in that 5th arrondissement of Paris, which is actually the oldest, and it was built by the Romans. So this is kind of a spot on 5th on the top left. The top is just the 5th arrondissement, and then you can kind of situate yourself with the 5th arrondissement in the bottom one to just kind of see where the 5th is in relation. It is part of the core of Paris for sure. So you can actually see traces of the area's past, and they survive in such places as Les Arènes de Lutèce, a Roman amphitheater, as well as Le Terme de Cluny, a Roman therma. It's also known as the Pantheon and is found on the rive gauche of the River Seine. The 5th is one of Paris's most prestigious districts. Found in the arrondissement is the Quartier Latin, which is overflowing with universities and colleges and prestigious high schools, actually since the 12th century when the Sorbonne University was created. It's also home to the National Museum of Natural History and the Jardin des Plantes. So Catherine was recruited to be a Feijoa. She traveled on Le Jean-Baptiste in August of 1671. She was just 14 years old, very young. She actually traveled with another Feijoa that we have profiled, Marie-Reine Charpentier, who was also very young. Her mother had passed away, but her father was still alive. Why was she sent as a Feijoa? Perhaps her father had remarried. We don't know, but in any event, Catherine was lucky enough to have someone to stay with for the first 6 months. Her uncle, Fiacre Duchamp, was in Montreal, lived in Montreal, or Ville-Marie, as it was referred to. Her uncle happened to live next door to the Maison Gabriel, where many of the Feijoa were housed. So who is this groom that selected her? His name was Pierre Roy de Saint-Lambert, and he was born in 1643, which would make him about 14, 15 years older than her. He was born in the town or the village, the commune, and we know what communes are in France. They are townships. Saint-Michel-le-Cloq. His parents were Jean Roy and Jeanne Boyer. And there's about 1,300 people who live there now. It's found in the Vendée region, a department of, in the Pays de la Loire region. The little red dot here on the map of France tells you a little bit about the location. The Church of Saint-Michel dates from the 13th century, as well as several castles, such as the one named Castle Le Bourg, and that's pictured on the right side of your screen. I just love castles. He would arrive in New France sometime before 1666, because we found him in the census of 1666 working as a domestic servant for Jacques Le Baer, who was a merchant in Montreal. So Catherine and Pierre married on January 12th, 1672 in the Notre Dame Cathedral in Montreal. This is the record of their marriage. I'm kind of excited to do this particular one because we haven't yet to see anybody in La Prairie. So this is the first time that we're exploring this area of Quebec. La Prairie, which literally means the meadow, was first given to the Jesuits in 1667. The seigneurie would develop slowly, but by 1687, it had both a flour and sawmill. In 1691, the lumber would act as a barrier to the attack from mercenaries who came from New England. And later a small wooden church would be built, and we see that. So you kind of see where La Prairie is, just the section of Quebec, how it grew. That gives you some idea of, you know, what they settled. Now, what inspired me the most about Catherine Duchamp, I love her name, by the way, Duchamp meaning of charm, is the fact that she had the most children of any Fijian. I always love people who, you know, oldest, youngest, the most children, the least children, that sort of thing. But she had 18 children, which is a remarkable, remarkable feat. So let's get to know her 18 children and how many made it. Okay, we have her firstborn, Marguerite, becomes a nun with the Notre Dame congregation. Anne with Marie-Louis Barbeau and have 20 children, listen to me, 18 of whom would survive. Pierre would marry an Indian woman named Marguerite and was a voyageur in Detroit, where three daughters were born. Catherine would marry Antoine Lafrance and would die, unfortunately, giving birth to twin girls who also died at birth. The second Pierre would marry Angélique Marie de Lafayette and have 11 children, 10 of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Marguerite would marry Clément Léréger de Laplante and have 13 children, 8 of whom made it to adulthood. Jean would die at the age of 5 years of age. Marie-Madeleine would marry Jean-René Perra de La Fontaine and have 9 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Gabrielle, unfortunately, would pass away at 1 month. Jacques would marry Marie-Marguerite French and have 11 children, 6 of whom made it to adulthood. François was a twin. He married Marie-Madeleine Trudeau and have 16 children, 11 of whom made it to adulthood. Etienne, the other twin, would not marry and became a voyageur and would eventually die in New Orleans, Louisiana. André would marry Suzanne Gourdon de la Chasse and have 6 children, 5 of whom made it to adulthood. Louis would marry Marguerite de Mar and was also a voyageur and would settle in Detroit, Michigan, and have 4 children, 3 of whom made it to adulthood. Antoine has no descendants that I can research. Marie-Joseph would marry Louis Trudeau and have 13 children, 6 of whom made it to adulthood. Geneviève would pass away at the age of 13, and Angélique would die in infancy. Just an amazing, amazing, kind of descendancy, really and truly. Catherine would die on the 20th of February, 1719, at the age of 71. Pierre would live another 2 years, dying on October 27, 1721, at the remarkable age of 83. She and Pierre have been married 47 years. when Catherine passed. They had 18 children, 79 living grandchildren, and a descendancy that is assured. And if you happen to be a descendant of this amazing couple, there is the Association des Familles Rois d'Amérique, a fabulous website, if you can see. I posted a link to it as well. Please have a look at that website so you can get to know more about this side of your family tree. And with that, we end another incredible story of Les Filles du Roi and all that they went through. I thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you on the next episode. Until then, au revoir.